This is Briar Cloth, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. Less than ideal growing conditions in parts of the Corn Belt could become a market factor going forward. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo thinks traders have not factored in the dry growing conditions yet.
Very prescient point right now is that you really don't have ideal conditions, but the trade, because of the WASDE report, because of the planting pace being so far ahead of last year, which was delayed, just doesn't see that yet. And I would say one other thing out there that I would hope to maybe bring the wheat back around to join up with the row crops, maybe by the end of today, is the dollar going lower with the debt deal looking like it's going to be done. That's been baked in, and I think we overdid it in the dollar.
China's currency is another factor.
Probably more importantly is the Chinese Central Bank came out early Friday morning and said, we don't want our currency to weaken anymore. We're going to start defending our currency. That's been, I think, in my mind, a very big issue. The China-related selling in this grain market has been one of the biggest weeks that I can think of going back maybe 6 or 7 months. So if I'm right about that, the shift in the People's Bank of China, I think, could bring in some short covering. But will it happen today is a big question mark.
The monthly USDA cattle on feed report will be released this afternoon. A Reuters news survey of market analysts found the number of cattle and calves on feed during April was down 4.5% from 1 year ago. Placements are forecast to decline nearly 4%, while markets are expected to drop nearly 10%. Earlier this year, USDA said the U.S. beef cow herd is at its lowest point in 60 years.
And the livestock market is positioning ahead this afternoon, according to Heartland Commodities and Securities market analyst Jason Winter.
So on feed as of May 1st, the average trade guess was 86.5, placements 96.3, and marketing in April was 90.3. So feeder cattle, big move into new highs.
South Dakota State University Extension Forage Field Specialist Sarah Bowder says planting progress is chugging along in South Dakota.
It has been actually quite pleasantly good progress conditions these last couple of weeks. We did have some rainfall here in the central, south central part of the state that kind of made its way through the southeast, but despite that, people are back in the fields and things have dried up enough to, you know, get moving again. I think there's quite a significant amount of corn and soybeans that went in, you know, over the last 2 weeks, and then we had a brief break in these areas where it was wet, and now, again, it's moving along. According to the NAS crop progress report on the 15th, we were about 50% planted, which is well ahead of last year, which was closer to 30%.
Bowder says alfalfa fields are looking better than expected after a drought year.
Alfalfa has definitely taken off. This, you know, recent rain has helped in areas where it's been so dry. Now, even if you didn't have the rain, hopefully the environmental conditions will allow for us to have a decent year, because last year's first cutting in much of South Dakota and even the surrounding states was quite late just because of such dry conditions and a slow warm-up for the spring. So hopefully this year we're going to see more of a typical cutting schedule, and people who are really hoping to have good alfalfa yield can maybe make up for some of last year's losses.
Erskine, Minnesota planting progress is on hold with rains in the last 2 days, but farmer Brady Lee says it's a chance to work on equipment.
We got a little bit of rain. Don't have a gauge up yet, but we're just kind of catching up on some maintenance. Dirt's a little bit too sticky to be doing anything with, but if the sun came out, we'd be able to work again. Got all our corn done. We've just got one field of wheat left to plant, which is ready to go, and got started on soybeans. So hopefully in a few more days, we'll about have it wrapped up here.
Lee says they're still way ahead of last year.
I feel we're about 2 weeks ahead of last year, if not more. I think the first we planted last year was the 25th of May, and we got some in on the 6th this year. We got started a little bit, so a bit ahead of last year. So all the wheat that we've got planted. Has emerged or is emerging and looks to be a really good stand so far. Corn isn't coming out of the ground yet, but it's sprouting and making its way there nicely.
The United U.S. Meat Export Federation's spring conference begins next week in Minneapolis. USMEF Communications Director John Harith says everything from export priorities to farm bill will be covered.
Bringing together our board of directors and other interested parties, all nine sectors involved in the U.S. Meat Export Federation, to talk about priorities for the rest of the year. A couple of highlights coming up. We're going to have our Asia team kind of kick things off. And talk about some new investments and new directions in promoting U.S. red meat in the Asia market. Well, Kenneth Smith Ramos, who was Mexico's chief negotiator for the modernization of NAFTA, in those talks, he's going to talk about the ongoing relationship with Mexico, and also former House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson talking about his take on the farm bill negotiations coming up.
Harith thinks there'll be buzz about meat industry issues like port availability and Proposition 12.
One is the availability of cattle, availability of beef this year because of the reduction in the herd, how that's going to impact the availability for exports and how that impacts some of our marketing decisions. You don't hear a lot about it now, but on our minds is the West Coast ports situation. That uncertainty is causing import traffic to move to other coasts, which means that there's fewer export vessels available. And then also, I know Prop 12 and the Supreme Court decision there is on a lot of people's minds. From the exporter's position, the concern there is how does that impact the significant volume of red meat that moves through California to go to the ports?
John Deere has raised their expected net income for this year to between $9.25 billion and $9.5 billion. Analysts said a potential oversupply of equipment still caused shares to fall 1.7%. Precision agriculture and production equipment has led the company in recent growth. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. A survey of the Federal Reserve Bank was released that shows the economic condition of farmers and ranchers. Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis Regional Outreach Director Joe Mann says the agriculture sector is still holding strong.
And what we found from the first quarter survey is that farmers continue to be in pretty solid condition. And this has been true really since the waning period of the pandemic. We've seen strong commodity prices, and that's benefited farm households quite a bit. So we've seen continued strong income. The incomes that we saw in the first quarter of 2023 compared to a year earlier, increase on balance. We also saw increases in household spending. However, capital spending by farms, purchases of equipment and buildings, was relatively flat overall.
Mann says farmers were in a good cash position last quarter, but the outlook isn't so certain.
Decrease in loan demand, farmers demanding less credit because they have more cash on hand. We saw continued increase in land values and rents from a year ago, and that's all good news. Looking forward, we also asked these lenders about their outlook for the coming quarter, and that was a little bit more uncertain. In fact, the income picture takes a negative turn, at least in the outlook. A lot of comments on what was going on behind that. A lot of folks pointed to an expectation for downward movement in agricultural commodity prices.
The Environmental Protection Agency has sent a final rule on the amount of ethanol that oil refiners can blend into their product over the next 3 years to the White House for review. The EPA's proposed rule increases volume mandates and includes a pathway for electric vehicle manufacturers to produce credits from using biofuels to charge electric vehicles.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz signed the state's agriculture omnibus bill. The bill included the creation of a grain indemnity fund. Minnesota Grain and Feed Association Executive Director Laura Lemke says they still oppose the provision, saying it allows for riskier decisions and will ultimately cost producers.
That it removes most of the risk from a producer's grain marketing decisions, which could encourage a willingness to make riskier choices. It removes that incentive for producers to do their due diligence when entering a business relationship with grain buyers. We always say it's really good to know who you're doing business with and you need to check them out. It increases the added administrative burdens to the grain industry for the collection and the submission of fees, especially when many facilities right now are running shorthanded and they're struggling to find good employees. We feel that it forces all producers to subsidize repayment for somebody else's bad decisions or their bad luck.
Lemke says the bill lacks a way to prevent elevator failures.
In the end, we felt that this legislation was unbalanced. The indemnity fund lays aside $10 million to pay producers in the event of a failure, but it does nothing to try and stop the failures from happening.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced plans to roll out $3.7 billion in emergency relief program and emergency livestock relief program assistance to crop and livestock producers who sustained loss from a natural disaster in 2022. Vilsack says farmers faced a host of challenges, including a mega drought, Hurricane Ian, flooding, and wildfires.
The Conservation Opportunity and Voluntary Environment Resilience Act was reintroduced to incentivize the use of cover crops across the country. Cover would provide a $5 per acre discount on crop insurance for farmers who do plant cover crops.
The alfalfa crop in Minnesota is off to a good start. University of Minnesota utilizes the Alfalfa Harvest Alert Project to alert alfalfa growers to start first crop harvest when the crop is at maximized yield potential. According to data, Sibley County, Minnesota, alfalfa fields are about 2 to 6 inches from being harvest ready.
The North American Potato Market News reporting fresh potato exports totaled 2.43 million hundredweight during the first quarter of 2023. That's up 2.1% year over year. The report also says most of the growth coming from a 31% increase in sales to Mexico, totaling 770,000 hundredweight. Fresh potato exports to Canada were down 4.5% to 811,000 hundredweight. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schleck. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
Well, this week we're looking at the big Prop 12 decision from the Supreme Court. So we have a pair of stories for our cover package that are looking at both the decision itself, what it means going forward for the pork industry, that a lot of 5 years of fight has been going on to keep this California pig confinement law from going into place, and now it's set to go into place in July. And so what does it mean legally? But then the other part of that is, what does it really mean for pig farmers, for consumers, and really for animal health? And obviously this has been a big topic in agriculture for quite a few years, and I'm sure this is far from the last we'll write about it, but we really wanted to dive into what all this means.
Yeah, do you get kind of into what some of the reactions are and some of the ramifications?
Yeah, so obviously the pork industry is very disappointed. They don't see this move being good for animal health because the issue is the gestation stalls and that California voters want sows to have more space. But how that's going to play out for a lot of people is they're going to go to probably group housing. So it's going to be the most economical decision, and that might mean that the sows kind of pick on each other a little bit, and this might hurt animal health rather than help it, because a lot of those voters really got a lot of propaganda rather than a lot of good information from places like the American Veterinary Medical Association that says there really isn't one better way of housing sows than another. They all have their problems, and they all have their good points.
Well, Jenny, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Minneapolis July wheat down 23.5 at 8:05. July corn down 1.5. Live cattle 20 cents higher at 165.72. Lean hogs down $2.22. This is the Red River Farm Network.